I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. This week, I'm joined by original Big Brother babe and pretty much original reality TV star. It's none other than Chantelle Houghton, everybody.
Hey.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. I'm great. Thank you. Yes, really pleased to be on the podcast. So thank you.
Mate, you look unreal.
Oh, thank you. I've had a few tweaks here and there over the last, a couple of months. So yeah, I've got my money's worth.
good for you. Honestly though, I was just reading my notes because obviously my lovely producer goes away and does all of my research for us. And I can't believe last, because I was addicted, obsessed to your series of Big Brother, but I can't believe it was 2006, mate.
No, it's insane. I think it's been 17 years. It just feels like, I don't know if you feel like it, but I feel like I've lived 100 different lives. Like, yeah. I'm like, who am I? What am I? What do you know what I mean? I feel like I've got so many memories up here from everything that's happened in my life. I sometimes think, like, who the fuck am I? No. What do I like?
No, I totally get that. I suppose, like, very much the nature of the industry we've both been in, you know, like, I think you have to sort of, in order to stay relevant, like, roll with the punches, because it looks, even though like Big Brother's back and stuff like that, it does look very different, that like the industry to how it was in 2006. So in order to sort of like stay relevant to different things, you've probably have done different things, Chantelle.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's, do you know what? It's changed so much from when I was on Big Brother. I know, obviously, yeah. Came back this last year, but it's just so different. And I am really glad that I got to go in when I did go in, because I do feel like it. I don't know. I don't think I'd like to have done it in the way in the world that it is in now. Do you know what I mean? I think it was a lot softer when I went in.
Yeah.
I don't think. Do you know what? I genuinely, honestly, hand on heart, I just thought I would go in there. I'd probably get one magazine interview and then I'd just go back to normal. Like, never did I think what would happen. Do you know what I mean? It changed my life, but it also shaped my life as well. Yeah. And so many people say to me, like, what do you think you'd be doing now if it wasn't for Big Brother? And I just honestly don't know, but I would love to know as well. Like, I would love to be able to know where my life would have gone. But it really shaped my life. It did, in so many ways.
But then I think that's what, like, everybody loved about you. You were an underdog and we love the sneaky secret. You were incredible on your little sly mission. But you're unassuming, Chantelle, you know? You are, like, modest and very real and genuine. And that's what we like to watch. I think as the British public, we want to root for somebody who we think, God, I'd fucking love to have a little drink down the pub with her. And that's how you made me feel.
Yeah, and do you know what? I think, like, because I went on to Ultimate Big Brother, like, I think it was about 5 years after the original Big Brother that I went on, and I realised then how I got away with, like, being, like, with, I realised how I got away with my task, because when I went on Ultimate Big Brother, all you're really caring about is yourself and, like, how you're coming across, and, like, so I think in the original Big Brother I went in, the other celebrities were just so self-conscious of themselves and how they're coming across that you just sort of forget about everyone else. So that's why I feel like I just sort of, like, sailed on through. Do you know what I mean?
No, I do. I totally get that. We are all really just focusing on ourselves, aren't we? Like, everybody else is just secondary characters in our play. Yeah. So even though you were like stressed to death, probably thinking, oh, they're going to realize I'm a fraud. Candy floss doesn't exist. They were just thinking, how am I going to come across? Does my hair look all right? Am I doing my mum proud? X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I just wanted to stay. Once I got in there, I was just like, oh, I just want to stay. Like, I was just desperate to stay. And God, then I went on to win it, which is just insane. And obviously, I've got a husband out of it as well, even though we're now divorced. But, you know, we're still really good friends. So that's great. But yeah, it was amazing, amazing experience.
No, and honestly, mate, so it's back now. People listening, you know, they could even find themselves on it in the future. So talk to us a little bit about the process. Obviously, it will be slightly different now from back in the day. But did you, were you approached? Were you, because social media wasn't really a thing back then, was it?
No, God, not at all. Do you know what? I think Facebook literally had come out maybe a year prior to me going in. So that would, I went in 2006. So definitely social media wasn't anywhere. So I was doing promotion work. I was actually one of the grid girls at like the Grand Prix going around,
yes,
up and down the country. And someone just mentioned the Big Brother audition. So I was like, oh, like maybe I could do that. And it was just a bit like, I didn't really know where my life was going. I was trying to, you know, get as much promotional work as possible, but it wasn't really enough to sort of live on. I was still living at my parents' house, but it wasn't enough really to, you know, to actually live myself. And it was Mother's Day, and my mum really weirdly went out for lunch without me, which was quite rude, to be honest, but I don't know what happened there. Anyway, I was at home alone, and I was just like, do you know what? I'm gonna go and audition. Like, why not? I didn't have any money. I bunked the train from where I lived to London as well. And I went to the audition. There was, I think I got there like an hour before it was, before the auditions were shutting down. And I went there and you just sort of like lined up. You went and spoke to someone, like someone come down to us all in the queue, just sort of chatting to us. And I had this great big cream fur coat on, had my blonde hair, one, you know, fake tan and blah, blah, blah. And oh, just embarrassing. Anyway, but great.
I think it was iconic, mate. Like, I've literally, just to refresh my memory, watched that moment where you had to sing in front of everybody, you know? And I was like, no, that look, as far as I was concerned, had me in a chokehold in early 2000s.
Honestly.
Like, I would have done anything to look like you. You're an icon.
The green eyeshadow and the orange lipstick. I mean, what was I thinking? So embarrassing. But yeah, with the audition process, so you just went into a makeshift diary room. There was a camera in front of you. You sat down and there was about 10 of them, like all sort of partitioned off. So there was all other people in there. And then after like a 10-second countdown, you had to talk into your camera and say why you felt that you should be a contestant.
That feels like a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I was like, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? And I literally just sat there and I was like, my name is Chantel. I'm from Essex. I like shopping. And then I just didn't say anything. Like, I literally just sat there for the remainder of the time. And I went home. I was like, oh, like I really screwed that up, you know, gutted. Anyway, the only people that knew I'd gone for the audition was my mum, my stepdad, and a couple of my friends. Anyway, probably, I think it was about 9 o'clock that same night, I got a phone call from a withheld number and I was like, hello. And this guy come on, he said, oh, hello. He said, he's Richard. I still remember it now. And he said, oh, I'm Richard from Big Brother. And I was like, yeah, all right. Do you know what I mean? I thought it was one of my mates taking the mic. And he was like, oh, we want you to come back for another audition. And I was like, oh, yeah, all right, whatever. And I just hung up. Anyway, he called back.
Fuck off, Richard.
Yeah, I know, exactly. I'm like, okay, maybe Richard's Bill though. So he was Bill. And do you know what? I must have had about 30 different auditions, like all dotted around London.
Wow. So a seriously rigorous process then, babe.
Yeah, and it's literally like so secretive as well. So one guy asked me to go and meet him at the Cafe Nero on Tottenham Court Road. And he said he'll be wearing like a cap with a denim jacket. So I waited for him to come up to me.
It's like a spy novel. Like, I'll be the man with the rose in my lapel.
It was madness. It was madness. And he came up to me and gave me a note and with an address on it. And it was to meet someone else at the embankment by this tube station.
This is like espionage, Chantal.
Honestly, it was so bizarre. So off I am back on the tube again, and then this other person come to collect me, and then they took me up to this hotel. And yeah, so it was just like that. But it was around 30 different locations that I went to until. I didn't get into the summer one. I don't know if you know this, but before the show goes live on telly, for 2 weeks, like 2 weeks before the show goes live, they put in like guinea pig housemates.
I'm sure I didn't know this. Didn't Ryland do this years ago?
Oh, maybe he did. Yeah, maybe.
I'm sure. And like he was absolutely gonna be in it, and like they were telling them like, you know, and then he was in a hotel and he saw the real one starting and he was like, are you joking me? I've done this 2 weeks and I've been hidden away and I've been, like you say, moved from location to location, and they'd started it without him. I mean, obviously it all worked out great for him in the end. Woohoo, Ryland.
Yeah. I'm not going to speak for Ryland. He's done amazing.
But yes, I feel like I did know this was a thing. So did they do that with you?
Yeah, so I got picked up like on the Monday. Went into the actual Big Brother house, you know, there was obviously no crowd outside or anything, but the door shut, you walked in, and we were meant to stay there for a whole week, but I got given a task straight away on the Monday, and I basically had to make everyone put me up for eviction, like my secret task.
And so I would hate that one. Like that would be my least favorite one, I think.
It was horrible. I just had to be horrible to people, like be really rude and make everyone hate me. And I remember one time, like, I was sitting in the bedroom and everyone else was outside in the garden, like, talking about me, and rightly so, because I'd been horrible. Do you know what I mean?
Being a right knob. Oh,
yeah, exactly. I was really horrible. And I got evicted on the Wednesday, and I thought that was it. Like, literally, I thought that was it. I was taken home, never to be heard, you know, again. And then the real show came on, and then there was a couple of people that I recognised from when I was in the guinea pig show with them.
Really? Like who?
So Kinga, do you remember Kinga with the wine bottle?
How could I forget Kinga and the wine bottle?
Yeah, Kinga. And also, do you remember Dennis, the Scottish guy? He actually got thrown out because I think he spat at somebody. So he got thrown out. But whilst I was in there, Kinga and Dennis actually went and weed on my toothbrush. And thank God Big Brother told me, because otherwise I'd have been cleaning my teeth with their piss. But
oh my God, are you joking?
Yeah, but no, so yeah, it was Kinga. And do you remember Eugene as well? Oh, he was like a pilot, I think. He was a really sweet guy. A few of them. I just thought that was it. I thought it was game over until it was December that year that I got a call from the producers just asking me what I was doing in January. And I was just a bit like, oh, you know, just the same old sort of thing. And they asked me to come and meet them. And then they just implied that it was going to be half normal people, half non-celebs, half celebs.
Yeah, I know.
And so I was just like, I got off the phone and I was thinking, they've asked me if I'm free for the whole of January. Well, the only show that I know, this was before I knew it was Big Brother.
Yeah.
So I was just like, it must be Celebrity Big Brother. But obviously I was thinking, how can I, like, I'm not a celebrity. Anyway, yeah, the rest is history. And I genuinely didn't know that I was the only non-celeb until I walked in that house. And yeah, it was just...
No. So in your head, you still thought it was this mix of celebs and non-celebs?
Yeah, until I got in there. Yeah.
And then at what point did they say to you, right, so actually you are an undercover non-celeb and you're going to have to pretend to be a member of Candy Floss, the pop band. When did that happen? When did they like drop that bombshell on you?
So I got out the car, the crowd were there, and I'm like blowing kisses, like so embarrassing.
Having a lovely time. No, honestly, babe, I would be the same. I would be in my element. Those are the best moments from TV, reality TV. Yeah. They're so iconic. Yeah, don't be embarrassed.
Like, do you know what? I'd honestly envisioned like walking up them stairs so many times, and it was just so like, oh my God, I'm doing this, I'm doing this.
So sorry, Chantal, because I'm so excited. What was your outfit? What had you picked to go in? I can't remember.
Yeah, no, it was a black satin like dress with like a little black tutu skirt with like a black
yes. Black, I, like a bolero. Yes, I remember. Yeah, exactly. No, sort of the moment girl. Yes, okay, yeah. Amazing.
Not orange lipstick, obviously.
of course. Sets it off lovely. Yes.
And so it wasn't until I got in, there was no one else in the house, and I was like, okay, I'm the first one in. And then they called me to the diary room. And at that point in my life, I'd actually been doing some lookalike work as Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
So, because I kept getting people telling me that I looked like Paris Hilton. And so I was like, oh, I might be able to make a bit of money out of this, you know. So they called
me a hustler.
So they called me to the diary room, and they basically said, like, explained to me that I need to pretend that I'm famous. And the first thought that went through my head was, they're gonna ask me to pretend that I'm Paris Hilton. Yeah. Like, and I'm gonna have to use an American accent, and
how am I gonna do this
anyway. Obviously it wasn't that, and they said that I had to pretend that I was in a girl band, and I had a like number one hit from Japan. And they were like, you can name your girl band members. So being an idiot, I decided that there was five. But obviously, I then had to remember all five names. Like, oh. And so, yeah. And I came out the diary room, and the first person to come through the door was Michael Barrymore. And it was just like, honestly, like, I'd watched him growing up on a Saturday night, like at top, middle or bottom, strike it lucky. Yeah. And it was just like, how the hell am I here and he's here? And it was just like one after the other of, you know, people coming in, these famous people. I'm just like, shit, you know? Oh.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Honestly, mate, like, as somebody who's in this industry, right, even now when I, like, do things like The Pilgrimage or The Jungle or MasterChef, I'm like, fucking hell, that's Ian Beale. Like, I'm, like, I can't, obviously it's not Adam Wood, you're so big up, but, like, I'm shitting myself, mate, being around these people that I've grown up watching, like, grown up thinking were super cool and super famous. Like, I can't imagine being, like, thrown into that position before I was in that world. Like, I would have lost my head.
Yeah, it was mad. But you know what? Talking about seeing famous people out, I was actually in Brentwood once, and I was in Holland and Barrett with my brother, and you were in there. And I was like, oh my God, it's Vicky Madison, Vicky Madison. And I was so badly when he's come and say hello, but I was just like, I just can't do it. So I did that with you.
You're so nice. I bet you I look like an angry little homeless man. Did I get any supplements? I'm always so moody in Holland and Barrett. I'm like, buying me hair gummies or whatever it was. I was getting the kale gummies.
It was a long time ago now.
Yeah. So you're there with Michael Barrymore. And I reckon that might be a bit of a baptism of fire, because Barrymore's been around the block, and like, hey, you can't bullshit a bullshitter. Or you're panicking.
Yeah, do you know what I was? But the person that I panicked the most about was Jodie Marsh. And the reason why is because I used to go out in Brentwood quite a lot.
Right.
She was from Brentwood, and she used to be in the bars quite a lot. And I'm just, you know, the way I looked wasn't I didn't go like unnoticed, and I don't mean that in like a big headed way, but I had bright blonde hair with this orange lipstick, green eyeshadow. Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, shit, I'm standing here now telling her that I'm in this girl band. I'm, you know, I've got number one out in Japan. And I was thinking, she's probably thinking like, I've seen you down Brentwood High Street, mate. Do you know what I mean? That who I was, and I actually went to the diary room and said, look, I'm really worried because of this. And anyway, but do you know what? The person I really should have been the most worried about was Preston.
Because
because he went to Japan a lot with his music. And they were, he was like Posh and Becks out in Japan. Like the girls would be wild for him. Like
yeah.
He had super fans in Japan. Like seriously, when he went to Japan, he was like royalty out there. Like he was super famous out there.
Nobody spoke to me when I went to Japan, you know. I got like, obviously I'm not expecting them to know who I am, but nobody spoke to us. Like, it was horrible. I ended up spending a week in Hooters, Chantel, because it was the only place anybody would talk to us. Like I don't know. I feel like I looked really Western and they didn't really understand.
I've never been. Do you know what? It's definitely on my bucket list. But
Nothing against Japan, fuck no. But like, because my accent's so strong, even the people who spoke English couldn't understand us. So I was just really lonely. So you're not missing much, in my opinion.
he was definitely the one that I didn't know at the time like how huge he was in Japan. I didn't really know much about music, to be honest. It's just not really my thing. But obviously, I got away with it. And for him, like from him, because what happened with Between Us, like he was obviously not going to like push me, you know. Sometimes I do think, I wonder if you did genuinely know, like, hang on a minute, I've been in Japan and I've never heard of you and you've had this number one, you know, but he didn't out me if he did know. So yeah, he was the one that I should have been worried about the most, but obviously I didn't know it at the time.
Like, it's like you say though, babe, like he was probably so worried about how he would come across and thinking, God, she's got a number one in Japan and she hasn't heard of me. Maybe I'm not as famous as she thinks she is. Like, for all celebs are like, you know, super cool and think like they've got, I don't know, like fame or fans, or whatever. Well, pretty much everyone I've met is quite insecure, quite scared, worried. And so, you say, he probably was just worrying about you. And as well, he obviously fancied you. You were a gorgeous girl. He's ended up getting married. So he's probably just trying to make sure he looked very, like, handsome and cool.
Yeah, Preston.
So obviously, you've got to wait. Mate, I just watched the clip again where you had to sing to the celebs to, like, convince them of your talent. Right, first of all, you sound amazing. Were you lip syncing? Because that was unreal.
Oh, shut up.
Hang on, so that was you? Because I was just like, me and producer were just having a dance before the pod started. It was really good.
Oh, thank you. But you know, they did play the music over it. No, did they? Oh, no, hang on. No, it was me. It was me. It was me, but I definitely can't see. It sounds like, oh my God, it was awful. I didn't even know the words to it. Like, I forgot the word. The words were in front of me and I couldn't even follow the words at one point. So I just sort of like did this with my hair and like turned around quite a few times.
No, you were good.
The faces of of all of those, like watching me, they were like, the eyes like going from left to right. Like, what is actually happening? Oh, do you know what? I'm actually getting hot thinking about
I'm sorry. I did not mean to give you like pop star PTSD. I really apologize. So obviously, you had an amazing experience in there. Like, you were with some pretty big names. You're a really nice girl. I'm not going to ask you to dish the dirt, but come on, tell me like who you got on with really well, who really surprised you. Obviously, I know you and Preston ended up being a bit of a love affair, but is there anything, any goss you can give her?
Oh, do you know what? The main person would have been Dennis Rodman, and there wasn't much shown about me with like what was going on with me and him, but it really weren't nice to me at all. Like, it was just sort of like really sly underlying digs. Like, I'd ordered some more foundation on the shopping task and he pinched it and put it in his pocket and he wouldn't give it back to me. But so yeah, I think that's probably it's probably Dennis Rodman that was like the thing that wasn't shown, but it was just me and him didn't get on at all. I know there was a clip where he actually says to me that if I was out in America, like, he would have hit me or somebody would have hit me, or But that was like the night where it all kicked off with like me, Preston, George Galloway. And there was one bit where I'm like, do you think I'm prepared? And do you know what? Vicky, Catherine Tate come up to me at an award ceremony. She's like, oh my God, you used my line. She was like, and I was like, oh my God, I did. You're right. But actually I did it all the time. Do you think I'm bothered? But no, Dennis Rodman, really, I didn't get on with him at all. Not one bit, but no, do you know what? I feel like I was so young back then and probably so worried and to be able to stand up for myself that I let a lot of things go that if I went in now,
yeah,
I'd have the confidence to actually stand up for myself. And I didn't back then. I was 21. Do you know what I mean? I'd barely lived a life really. And so there are definitely things that if I went back now with this head on my shoulders, I think I would have been a lot more outspoken on the things that I didn't feel like were right. But, you know, that just comes with age and experience, doesn't it?
No, it does. It really does. And I think, like, it's very interesting. So obviously the reality TV show I did first at 21, 22 was very different. We were all of a similar age. And I do think that plays a part, because you were in there with people at different ages, you know, different maturities, different, you know, they'd live different lives. Do you think that 21, 22, whatever, is a bit too young to be going into reality TV? Or do you really stand by? Like, because obviously I know it's been incredible for you and you've had it's gave you all the amazing things you've had. But I know from like experience that I actually think, you are probably a bit too young to be navigating that space, really.
Yeah, do you know what? I mean, I've never really thought about it, but you're only a baby at that age, aren't you?
You know nothing. Yeah. And you think you do. You sort of think you've got it all figured out. But honestly, mate, we know nothing.
Yeah, no, I do. You know, I've never thought about it before. But I do feel that it's very young and you're very naive and you don't know anything. And do you know what? I just feel, yeah, it is. It actually is. I do think it is. Yeah, you're right. I don't regret it for me personally, but how I've always navigated my life, and obviously there aren't perhaps standing outside my door now, but back then, like, I didn't live and I didn't breathe it. You know, once my door was closed and once I wasn't at a work event or whatever like that, my life was just my life, just very normal. But I do worry about the youngsters that go into these programs who think that it's their life from now on and this is always going to be it.
Yeah.
And what worries me is when it's not it anymore and, you know, the phone stops ringing and the paps stop turning up, and that's what worries me. Do you know? And like mental health, you know, that does worry me, because there are people out there that do probably think that, you know, it is going to be forever, but and it's not. Do you know what I mean? Like, nothing really lasts forever, you know, it just doesn't, and that's when the darkness can hit you. Do you know? Yeah, luckily, I just sort of, I just went for the ride, do you know what I mean? And I was grateful for everything, every opportunity. And it was just a bit like everything I went to, I was like, how the hell am I blagging this, you know? but yeah, no, it is young. You're right. It is young. I personally wouldn't want my daughter to go into reality TV at that young age, no.
No, and I think that's fair, mate. Like, obviously, I do, like anything, it's got its pitfalls and stuff. And it's also got its amazing upsides and things as well. But I think a lot can be said for reality TV, fame, the industry, whatever, when you're of the right age to enjoy it, understand it, and be able to navigate it properly. Because, yeah, sometimes I felt like, if you just look at the way I behaved on Geordie Shore and you think, you knobhead. I think that works a lot for producers and channels, you know, when people don't necessarily, you know their own mind or aren't strong enough to say, oh, hang on, I'm not going to do that, you know. But I do think I could have been a little bit older.
Also, do you know what, for me, it's also, you know, like, I don't know if this is relevant, but it's like something I would have done at 21, I would never dream of doing now at the age of 40, never in a million years. Yeah. So I'm not dating anyone, but if I was to date somebody and then I said, oh, well, like, this is what I used to do, or, you know, if they didn't know what I did, the fact that they can go online, type my name in and see the things that I've done that I would never dream of doing now. Is awful. Awful because there are people out there that will judge you on your past and they won't take you for the person that you are today. And you know what? I understand that. I do understand it, you know. So that's, again, why maybe it is a bit too young to be doing, to, you know, I'm not bashing reality TV at all. I love reality TV. But I do hate the internet because everything's on there. Do you know what I mean?
No, I think everybody, like, everybody has a love-hate relationship with the internet. Like, it's great, for example, when you want to, you know, find out if somebody, so-and-so and so-and-so are still together, or check your cinema times or whatever like that. Like, it's good in those circumstances. But yeah, honestly, babe, like, I have spent the last 10 years of my life sort of trying to distance myself from the person that everybody thought I was when I was like fucking 21, you know? And like, I've tried really hard to like go to therapy and evolve and grow and work with charities and adopt dogs and actually get healthy and all the rest of it and just be a better person. But it doesn't matter, because actually to some people, I'll still just be the girl who had sex on the telly.
Yeah, I know.
That's really hard. That's really hard to accept that. But then you know the right people, Chantelle, like the people who are like worth you knowing and spending time with, they'll see you for who you are right now and they won't care. Or they'll like say like, oh my God, that was so cool that you did that years ago. Who didn't do silly things when they were 21? They'll get it.
But you know what? Like I was saying with like age and experience and stuff, like I don't know why I'm talking about dating here, but it's just the way we've gone. But I would have always like gone on a date with someone. All I would care about is, do they like me? Oh my God, do they like what I'm wearing? Do they like this? Do they like that? What are they thinking of me? Now I'm like, do I like you? Like, do I like you? Do I like your past? Do you know what I mean? But I do, again, it's an age thing, isn't it? You know, and I don't know, sometimes you have to go through trauma and life and everything to actually get back to a place where you're okay with yourself. Do you know what I mean? Because I was always trying to please other people, like all the time. And now all I care about is if I'm okay and if I'm happy, because I did take a step back from the public eye for about, well, it must have been about 10 years. And I've spent a lot of time on my own. Not like I'm not a hermit or anything, do you know what I mean? But I had to be on my own. I was forced to be on my own. I had a young baby. I was at home every night after night with this young, you know, this young baby. And I'm really glad for that time, because I got to know me, and I'm not being really deep and stuff, because you know what? I was one of them people that if someone said to me years ago, I just need to find myself, I would have said, oh, where do you think you'll be, in Tesco's or something? I would have been that person. But until you've been through stuff, I understand that whole thing. Like, I need to find myself. I totally get it. But yeah, it just keeps coming back to age and life experience, don't it?
It does. And like, it's the age old thing, you know, like, I don't know. But then you can't be old and wise, Chantelle, if you've never been young and daft. I always say this.
Very good point. Yes.
So like, we shouldn't be being too hard on ourselves or beating ourselves up. We should just be like really proud of the women we're becoming. And like, honestly, I know this probably doesn't mean much coming from me, but I thought you were incredible on Big Brother, like on all the things I saw you do after, like even just the way that you carried yourself. I've always been really like loud and quite obnoxious and stuff. I always thought you were just really sweet and nice. And I remember thinking like, oh, I wish I could be a bit more like her, because you just seem
Do you know, it's sad though, isn't it? Because I, you know, your social media posts, I love reading your Instagram posts and stuff. Honestly, you help me so much. Like, you just, and you're helping so many other people out there, and it's just nice to see like you're a real human. Do you know what I mean? So you've helped me, trust me, you do.
This is ending up to be so lovely. Mate, I could talk to you all night, and don't worry, I'll definitely be getting more goss in part two, but we do have to have a break.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.